Thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 U.S. Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so we're back from our second break.
Mini break.
3 weeks off. Yeah. But the U.S. Grand Prix, the second U.S. Grand Prix, although the only one that's technically called the U.S. Grand Prix, but the one at Circuit of the Americas in Texas. I guess the only news coming in is what we kind of talked about going into the mini break, was that Danny was probably leaving, and that has been confirmed, and Liam Lawson is officially in the seat for the weekend. Yeah. So
Danny loved the U.S. Grand Prix as well, didn't he? He always lent in very hard to the U.S. culture, riding in on horseback and wearing the cowboy hats and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, his time is done. Liam's back. He's got a few races to show what he can do, and
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Again.
Yeah.
But for all the U.S. fans, I have a feeling Danny will be racing over here at some point in the future.
Not necessarily in Formula One, but he'll be behind the wheel of some engine in the U.S. I guess that's hard to bet against. He does seem to enjoy his time in America.
And apparently he's a huge NASCAR fan. I am not a huge NASCAR fan, but if Danny is in a seat in NASCAR, who knows? Maybe I'll watch.
Yeah, why not? I'm sure there'll be a lot of people in your that agree with that opinion.
Yeah. All right, but enough about NASCAR. On to the U.S. Grand Prix weekend. So obviously it was a sprint race weekend. Is this the second to last one, I guess?
I think Brazil has one, I think. So maybe, yeah. So a few extra points available, you know, opportunity for Lando to keep chipping away.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. coming into the weekend, obviously, that is the goal. Chip away as much as you can for Max and hope that he makes some mistake at the last few races where he gets 0 points. And so on to sprint qualifying. There wasn't really much excitement. Obviously, Oscar wasn't able to make it out of the first session, which is the first time in any version of qualifying that he was not able to make it out of the first session this season. So
yeah,
disappointing from him. The McLarens, even through the one practice session, just didn't seem to have it together this weekend, which is weird from how it was 3 weeks ago. They looked like they couldn't be touched.
Yeah, absolutely.
So interesting there. Checo, another qualifying blunder, not making it out of the second session in qualifying, along with both the Astons, but the Astons seem to not do well here. So no big surprise there. And then Max takes sprint pole again by just 1/100th of a second over George. So very close. But Max taking pole again, and Charles and Lando right behind them. But really, it was the Ferraris that have looked fastest through the practice session. So
yeah, good to see both of those guys up there as a team, I guess. Although I don't know if there's much love lost between them right now. No. I mean, they've always been friends, but it's coming to the end of the season, and obviously we know Carlos is moving on. So
yeah, he wants to prove that they made a mistake. Right?
Exactly. You can't blame him.
No, not at all. But yeah, so let's jump into the sprint race. Max had a fairly comfortable lead going into turn one. The big surprise was George and Charles were battling for P2, and Lando was able to cut by both of them as they were going wide and take P2.
Yeah, it's a good circuit, the Americas, for the start. I quite like it. I mean, it's severely uphill, obviously, and it's a hard, sharp turn to the left with plenty of space for cars to take lots of different lines. So, you know, there's a lot of different options off the line. So you've got chance for something to happen. So You know, good move.
Yeah. Very exciting there. And we saw George and Charles continuing to battle throughout the lap. But George ultimately was able to keep P3 and start to pull away a bit and try and stay behind Lando. But then a couple laps later, we saw Charles and Carlos, like we were just saying, battling out together. Yeah. And Charles is able to keep it, you know, ahead for the moment. But Carlos is coming for him and trying to show his worth. Yeah, really great racing from them and not crashing into each other.
Exactly. The most important thing. Yeah, not crashing into your teammate. Yeah.
And then Carlos finally on lap 5 was able to stick it around the outside on Charles and take P4 from him and then go chasing after George, who had fallen back a little bit from Lando. And then ultimately lap 9, Carlos was able to do it. The Ferraris were storming up the field now that they weren't battling each other. And then on the very next lap, Charles was able to pass them. So like 10 laps to try and chase down the guys at the front.
Yeah, no, the Ferraris definitely looking good, make moving through the field and not just like back markers, but, you know, at the sharp end of the race. So yeah, good driving from both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we didn't see anything until really the very last lap of the race. And the Ferraris were just chipping away at that time. And then on going into turn 1 on the last lap, Lando locks up going into that sharp left turn. And Carlos is able to get by him. And then Lando is just battling to keep Charles behind for the whole entire time. So Carlos is able to pull away and, you know.
I mean, it could have been so much worse, right? Because certainly it was a mistake by Lando locking up, which allowed Carlos to go through. But then Lando put his car like right on the apex, going either. I mean, it was in a defensive position. I mean, Charles complained that he's moved under braking. I don't think so, but Charles nearly ran right into the back of him. Right, he had to take complete avoiding action.
Yeah.
But I mean, imagine if he had hit Lando. He needs all those points.
Yeah.
I mean, we almost haven't barely mentioned the fact that Max was leading the whole sprint race, right? He didn't have to do anything. Nobody put any pressure on him. So a missed opportunity for Lando. And with that mistake, he turns second in the sprint into third. So more points dropped.
Yeah.
So that must be frustrating for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And just showing that they didn't look like they had it, at least with whatever setup they chose for the sprint race.
Yeah.
So Max winning the 4th out of 4 sprint races so far this season.
He's won every one. I guess that's not surprising at the start of the season, but recently, you know, with the fall off of performance for Red Bull, I didn't realize that. But
yeah. And I think it was Jensen Button, or maybe it was either Jensen or Gunther that were doing like the post-race interviews, and Max of course had to put in that he hates the sprint race right after he won the sprint race. But typical. I mean, he's had all these fights with the FIA about him cursing one time and now he won't talk in like the driver's interviews, whatever. It's just Max being Max, I guess.
So
that's it for the sprint stuff. And then on to regular qualifying for the feature race. And then Lewis was knocked out of Q1. I mean, we didn't really see much from him in the sprint race. I think he was just in P6 pretty much the whole time. And just an awful qualifying from him. I think it's the first time he hasn't started in the top 5 at Circuit of the Americas.
Wow.
Yeah, and ultimately, I think he got P18 or something like that.
He was way down there. Yeah,
yeah,
maybe the
really bad.
The kick salvos at the back or something. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. Yeah, actually, now we've lost Logan and Latifi.
Yeah, right. I think Bottas was faster than Lewis in the end, but but Joe was behind him. But yeah, brutal. And nothing really surprising in Q2, and Lando was able to hold on to pole, luckily, with George crashing out, ending the session with Max on a very fast lap. I mean, a pole's a pole, but I did not see that after what we saw in the sprint.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, great from Lando. That's where he wants to be, at the front. He needs to be ahead of Max. But we all know, he exercised his demon in the last race, right, where he was on pole position and for the first time held it. So
yeah,
he wants to build on that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Max is right next to him on the front of the grid. So he'll have it right in his face from the start of the race. But some other great qualifyings. Pierre was able to finish in P7 in qualifying, which is great from what we've seen from Alpine all season. And then the Haases, who looked great all weekend. I think that one finished in the points and just outside of the points in the sprint, or maybe both of them in the points. And Kevin ended up getting P7, and Nico just missed out on Q3. So continuing a really good weekend for Haas as well. And I guess the only other, I guess Checo was able to get into Q3, but will ultimately start P10 because he wasn't even able to get a time in. I guess he didn't get an early lap in, and George crashing, that's how it goes.
That's the brakes, yep.
So yeah, that is it for qualifying. So I guess we find out kind of early before the race that George will be starting from the pit lane. I guess ultimately he did get P6 with the banker lap that he put in, but they were not able to get the car ready in time, and or they had to fix some stuff. I don't know. And he ended up in the pit lane to start the race. And I feel like Liam had to start in the pit lane as well for a bunch of penalties, I guess, from Danny driving in it. They had to change a bunch of stuff. It was like a 60 grid, a 60 spot grid penalty or something like that.
If you changing your drivers, like changing your engine or something.
Yeah. I just gave it all brand new stuff. And starting from the pit lane from his first race back. But yeah, that is it for pre-race. And then on to the start. Max had another good start. Lando looked to have a good start, and he was moving over to kind of hold off, but he didn't move over enough. And Max had just enough room to scoot inside there and ultimately move up. But Charles was the one that was able to take advantage and went from P4 to the lead of the race this time. So learning from Lando from the last race, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, those two, I feel bad for Lando, but maybe he was too focused on Max and kind of forgot about the other cars, because he went too deep into the corner, you know, pushing Max wider and wider, but then just left the hole inside wide open, and it just fell perfectly for Leclerc, who got a great start, was in the right spot. You know, I think Sainz, who was in third place, was like boxed in behind Verstappen a little bit, and Lando, with them messing about with each other, not going as fast as they could, and Leclerc could just scooch on by. I think if Lando had paid slightly less attention to Max and just took a more aggressive line to the apex, he would have held the position. But
yeah,
I mean, it's so easy to say when you've rewatched it six times like I have. But just a disastrous start for Lando. So what, coming out of the first corner, it was Charles in first, Max second, Sainz got by Lando, and Lando ended up ultimately in fourth after just one corner, from first to fourth.
Yeah.
And Leclerc went from fourth to first. That's right. Effectively, they swapped positions, and Verstappen and Sainz were still in second and third where they were on the grid, which is a bit weird now I think about it. But
brutal.
Brutal, for sure. And perfect for Max, because I hope this isn't too sort of conspiracy theory, but Max's focus, I think, is Lando. Like, he doesn't really have any other competitors. If he's thinking big picture, whether he wants to win races or not, he wants to win the world championships. As long as Lando's behind him, he's going to win the world championship. So I don't think he cares necessarily that Charles is in front.
Yeah, right. And then we saw a little bit later in the first lap, Carlos and Max battling again, and then they both go wide. Max went crazy wide, and just it seemed like he just gunned it while off the track and was able to keep P2, and we didn't hear anything from that, but I guess that was okay.
Yeah, it was a common theme. Cars
a
bit going
of foreshadowing, off, right?
On that corner, I mean, it happened a lot. And then, yeah, it's up for the stewards to sort of unpick what's fair and what's unfair, and hopefully it's consistent, but yeah.
Which it wasn't.
Tell us how you really feel, Jason.
We'll get to that a little bit later, I guess. But yeah, so Max somehow was able to hold on to P2 there. And then I guess we saw later on in the race, but on the first lap, Albon and Ocon had a little contact on at turn one. Ocon spun.
Oh, yeah. Albon just tagged his rear left wheel and spun him, and that was pretty much Ocon's day done right from the get-go.
Yep, all the way to the back of the race for Ocon. But Lewis, amazingly, had moved up, I think, five or six spots on the first lap.
Yeah, he was up to like 12th or something. P12. Like straight away. Yeah. Great start from Lewis.
He bins it. He just loses it and goes into the gravel. I mean, didn't touch anybody. Nobody was near him. He just lost it and got beached in the gravel. And that
Toto saying that something, he thinks something broke on the car. I don't know if anything's been officially said, you know, that Lewis wouldn't just bin it like that. I guess we don't know. But he just sort of lost it on the corner. And out he goes. And once you're in gravel at that slow speed, you're not bringing it back on the course.
No, once you're stopped on the gravel, you're done.
Yeah.
Safety car comes out, and then it takes four laps for them to bring it back. Safety car back lap six. Charles looks to like go a little bit early, and Max seems to kind of look like he's got the advantage right behind him, but then Charles slows up again before they get to the line and then guns it again. It ended up working out for him. He was able to comfortably get away from him fairly quickly. I mean, it only took a lap for him to be out of DRS range, and you know, it's already out for the first lap after the safety car comes in. So
I don't think Max was racing Charles. You know, he's saving his tires. He wants to make sure that he can keep Lando behind him. Yeah, that's his focus. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine Max letting anybody stay ahead of him from what we've seen in the past, but maybe he's grown up a bit.
I think he's had to. I think this second half of the season has been quite humbling for him. I mean, he hasn't won a race in, I couldn't even tell you the last race he won, right? It's been all McLaren, Ferrari.
The race before Monaco, right? Or maybe he won one right after that, but that was the last one.
A long time ago, but so, you know, he's been in somewhat damage control, but now he can see the finish line. It's not that far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we saw Nico get by Alonso and both the Haases sitting in the points early in the race. But then lap nine, Carlos is dropping back from Max, and we hear him say that he smells fuel in the car, like lots of fuel in the car. Oof. But I mean, he keeps going, and then we don't hear anything about it for the rest of the race. So
that cannot be a good feeling.
No,
around the car. I mean, that's one thing that you don't get on the screen, obviously, is the smell of the racetrack. So they don't smell that great anyway. But raw fuel on top of it, I don't know. But yeah, the sounds and the smells of motorsport, for sure, for those people that are in attendance, are great.
Yeah. So let's see. Joe, out of nowhere, was having a good race. He was up in like P12, but then he spins too and falls to the back of the track.
like he can't get anything. Nothing can, is going to go is going right for this these guys. They're just waiting for the season to be over.
Seriously.
But yeah, he went all the way to the back, right? Because this was right after the safety car restarted, only a few laps. So everybody was still bunched up and you just had to wait. Yeah.
Yep. He got to watch everyone go by as he was able to pull out after that. But Charles still flying away, over 4 second lead now on lap 12. And Carlos is able to stay within 1.5 seconds behind Max, just keeping it there, not pushing too hard, you know, using his tires, but staying in touching distance.
Right.
Let's see. George gets by. He had passed Bottas, I guess, off the track. It looked not too bad to me, but he ended up getting a 5 second penalty for that.
Well, let's analyze this a little bit so we can keep it in the back of our mind. But in this particular situation, I think George came up the inside of Bottas as the attacking car. He came up the inside of Bottas, went right. So George did stay on the track, but he pushed. He didn't give Bottas a car's width to his outside, pushed Bottas off the track, and then took the place. So that's why George got the 5 second penalty, because he didn't leave room for the defending car on the track. He just sort of drove him off the track. So I don't disagree with that penalty.
Yeah.
George,
I guess, it depends on who's at the apex first, right?
I mean, this whole at the apex first thing,
It depends on how they come at the corner.
Yeah, how do you count it? Where's the apex? Which part of the car? Is it the nose? Is it the middle of the car? I'm discounting that. I'm just saying George was the aggressor. He was behind, but he was on the inside, and he didn't leave room around the outside. There was nowhere for Bottas to go. Once he's off the track, he's going to lose traction. So
yeah,
I think, yeah, George has should have found a better way to take him and should have given the place back, but he did.
So the guy on the outside is always the one that should be the beneficiary, right?
I didn't say that. I said the person behind was pushed, didn't leave space, and gained an advantage.
Okay,
we'll come back to that.
Yeah. So let's see. Checo finally able to get by Yuki, who had held him up for quite a while. Yuki obviously trying to show that he is the one that deserves that spot, doing a great job holding him off. But Checo ultimately on lap 17 was able to get by him and up into P8. Still not where Checo wants to be, but moving up the field. And then I guess this is where we start getting some pit stops. Kevin comes in fairly early on lap 18, falls way back. Nico and Yuki ended up going wheel to wheel at the end of that lap, but Yuki ends up just coming right into the pits as well. You know, responding to what Kevin did on the lap before that. And Kevin did get a 4 second lead, and he was behind Yuki before that, I believe. So,
The new tires, putting on the new tires gave the cars coming out a speed boost for sure.
Yeah. And Charles still flying away, 8 second lead now on lap 20. So, you know, unless he makes a mistake, it's looking fairly comfortable through the first stints of the race. And then we start getting the leaders pitting. Carlos comes in for his first stop. Let's see. Franco moving up the field, passing Alonso, and is up into the points. And he started on hard tires. All the leaders started on medium tires, but a few of the guys, I think George, Alonso, Franco, Liam, they all started on hard tires from further back. But moving up the field,
Was that the pass, the Franco Alonso tussle? Was that the one where Alonso like almost cut the corner and like dirt went everywhere behind his car as he sort of fought back? That was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, could have screwed up his car big time and his tires, but that was some good hard racing. Yeah, Franco, showing what he can do in only his fourth Grand Prix or something, or not many. So yeah, looking good.
Yeah, I feel like bold prediction, he might take Joe's spot next season. How crazy would that be? They haven't decided their full lineup yet, right? Sauber?
Yeah. No, there's still some guys vying for it.
I think Bottas is the odds-on favorite to keep the spot, but We'll see.
You can't discount, you know, what money comes with them as well. That's the other question. It's hard for us to quantify.
Yeah. So Max coming in for his stop, and Carlos is able to jump him. So
Carlos did what, like four laps? He went in like four laps before. So that four laps, he was able to basically close that 1.5 second gap and come out ahead of Max. So the undercut worked.
Yeah. And he also had a 4 second lead over him, when Max ended up coming back out. So,
right. He wasn't even close in the end then.
Yeah. Really good for Carlos. Charles responds and just drops behind the McLarens, who were staying out and seemed to be, from the jump, considering going long. And that's exactly what they did. I mean
that seems to be a consistent strategy for McLaren, right? Over the last few races, they go long their first stint all the time. Doesn't necessarily seem to work out for them. I'm not quite sure why they're doing that. They could just react and pitch at the same time. They're always trying to make these little deltas. They seem to really believe in that. Maybe at the end of the race that it's going to make a big difference.
Right. I mean, we've seen them be able to pass towards the end of the race sometimes, but then we have instances where it doesn't work. So,
sticking to their usual plan there going along.
Yeah. Oscar pretty much lets Charles go by when he catches back up just a few laps later. And Lando finally on lap 32 comes in for his first stop just as Zach Brown is on the broadcast. They're like, yep, they're coming in right now. So they fall back. I think it was behind the Ferraris and Max again. So P4 and P5. Pierre got a 5 second penalty for leaving the track and gaining the advantage on Yuki, which we, I think it happened a little bit earlier than this, but that's when we saw it. Let's see. George, Liam, and Franco have not pit at this point.
Yeah, they're the guys that started on the hard tires. Yeah, they were still out there. Yeah. And Hamilton was the other guy, but obviously he's out of the race. Well,
yeah. He didn't have any time to pit. Let's see. Lando was looking really, really good on the hard tires after coming into the pits. I mean, how much of an advantage did he end up having over Max? I guess it was a 6 lap advantage.
You mean
fresher tires.
Six laps. Yeah. It's lap 25 versus lap 31. Yeah.
Yeah. So he took a second out of Max on his last lap. And then I guess the hard tire starters are starting to come in. Liam comes in on lap 38. Only 3 laps later than Lando, who started on medium. So,
yeah, I mean, Lando did more than half the race, 31 laps on a 56 lap race. He did 31 laps on medium tires. So, and Piastri 32 laps.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, really impressive. Let's see. Kevin came in for a second stop on lap 38. I guess he was the first one to come in. So, he was destined for a 2 stop. I think he came in on lap 12 or something.
He came in on lap Kevin Magnussen. Yeah, he came in on lap 17 and switched to hard tires, and then went back to mediums again.
Yeah, very weird.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what was going on there.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's COOPSF1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
Franco comes in for his stop finally on lap 41. He was able to stay ahead of Kevin, so he's just outside of the points after pitting. So really impressive from Franco. Let's see. George comes in, I think they came in on the same lap, maybe the lap after, and he has to take his 5 second penalty, but he only falls to P8. So really impressive from George starting from the pit lane, having a 5 second penalty and still coming out from his pit stop on lap in P8. Really, really good from George.
Yeah.
And let's see, Yuki had been having a great race, but obviously is frustrated when he sees Liam pit and come out in front of him. I guess just on different strategies, right? So that's the name of the game sometimes. And Lando on lap 44 is in DRS range of Max. They got close a couple times, but Max just defending as Max does and able to just place it perfectly and keep him behind.
Right. So this is the tire delta that McLaren, you know, manufacturing race after race.
Yeah.
Trying to make it work. So here is where Lando has extra tires to use up that Max doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. But we'll want to try and get by him, obviously, as fast as possible to keep that tire advantage before they go off as well. George moving up again, getting past Nico and lapping a second faster than Checo with 6 seconds to catch up in 11 laps. So just more damage limitation for George. And then ultimately lap 47, Max locks up going into turn one. It looks like Lando should have a really good chance, but Max still just placing it perfectly. I mean, he does this for quite a while. It just looked like through the S sections, Lando was losing just enough time that when they got to the DRS straights that he wasn't able to really make a move for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the design of the circuit, right? You've got this straight going into an overtaking turn one, so you can get quite close, but then it's hard to follow behind the car through those fast but sweeping left-right S's. So
yeah,
you don't have quite the downforce. Even though these cars are designed to be able to follow, it's still you're still in disadvantage following. So yeah, you couldn't stay close.
Yeah, but finally on lap 52, it looked like Lando had the moment to get by him, going around the outside of, I don't remember what turn it is, but the one after that really long back straight. He pulls away, and they end up both going wide at the same spot where we've seen this happen all race long. But Lando was able to stay ahead. I'm trying to say this politically correct.
Say it. Just say it however you want to say it, Jason. Unfairly penalized.
Lando, of course, gets the penalty here for going off track. They were trying to say that he had like reached the allotted times that he's allowed to go off the track.
All right, yeah, four times or whatever. But, no, that was something separate. That wasn't the reason for the penalty.
Just he had nowhere to go. It was, if he had stayed on the track, Max would have crashed into him. Max went off the track as well, and we saw Max do the same thing earlier, all the way outside, and he didn't get penalized for anything.
If I'm not going to be an apologist here, like I'm sympathetic to Lando's situation. Like what could he do there, right? But he went off the track, as did Max. But he went off the track and he gains an advantage, like as in he was behind and he ended up ahead. Like that's the rules say you can't go off the track and gain an advantage. So, like,
but was he behind?
Well, he was behind going into the corner. Like if you take the corner and as this entirety, unlike, you know, so George Russell, his penalty, George was the aggressor, but he was on the inside, pushed the guy off. But George did stay on the track actually in that situation. Max didn't. Max was defending. Max, basically, they just both didn't break. They both just tried to wait for the other person to outbreak each other, and neither did. So neither made the corner. So they kind of nullified the corner for themselves by both not breaking in time. They both knew they didn't break in time. So that was just a lost opportunity. But then I do think if you look at it that way, you know, Lando was a bit cheeky and, you know, just kept his foot in and took the place. You know, they both went off track. That's illegal to do. And he gained a place. That's illegal to do. So and he didn't give it back. He should have given it back straight away and he could have had another shot at it. That's how I see it.
Yeah. And you're probably right. And it seemed like he just, his engineers were the ones that felt like he was ahead at the apex. And that's what they said. And then when he ended up getting the penalty, he was like, why didn't you just tell me to go behind him?
I mean, Lando asked, he said, he pushed me off, which is not wrong. Should I give the place back? What do you think? I think it was something, he asked the question and they didn't tell him to give it back. Yeah. I think if they told him to give it back, then Lando would have had another shot at him. He still had like 3, 4, 5 laps left. But Max does this all the time, right? He's done it constantly. Just, and other drivers do it too.
Yeah, it's just setting a bad precedent, you know?
Lando did it on the opening lap of the race. He pushed Max wide, but he lost the plate on the opening corner, sorry. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was just, they both outbroke each other. They both went off the track. It sort of should have nullified the fight at that point. Rejoin in your original positions and keep at it.
Yeah, now forever, Max is just going to take the inside of every single corner and just wait until as late as possible and just break and won't even have to care if he goes out, because the other guy will be out too if he's going to be forcing everybody off the track.
Ultimately, you know, Lando should have like maybe attacked at a different spot on the circuit rather than there, or broke earlier so that he knew he wouldn't go off the track, and then Max would have sailed straight on in front of him and he could have taken gun underneath. You know, that's easy to say looking at it now as we've rewatched the replay, you know, however many times, but Lando took the outside line. He went, tried to break later, and they both went off the track. You can't have an overtake off the track. You just can't, right?
Whatever. The rules are meant to be broken.
I do think it's somewhat consistent from that perspective. He overtook Max off the track.
Except for when Max did it on the second lap. Or the first lap, when he went wide with Carlos and gunned it while off the track.
Oh, I don't know. I have to relook at that bit. But yeah, we're all looking at Leclerc going through on the inside there. I don't know. But
No, like at this spot, later in the lap, when Carlos and Max were fighting, and Max went all the way wide out and then like gunned it up and was able to keep P2.
I mean, I'm not going to say the stewards are consistent either. It is frustrating, but yeah. I mean, these guys don't give up spots. It's better than it used to be. Back in the day, they would just crash into each other. Right. They would both spin out. So it's better that they both stayed on the track. But clearly the McLaren at the end of the race was faster. I think McLaren's strategy was correct to go long.
Yeah.
That delta seemed to help them. Just unfortunately, Lando couldn't make it happen, but hopefully he's going to take these experiences, put them in his locker, and it will make him a better driver. Hopefully it will make him go from good to great, and it won't be it won't be the one that got away. But I mean just to finish it up, I mean, that was basically the end of the race at that point, right? Like Lando was ahead, but he didn't get 5 seconds ahead. And so
he got pretty close, but just not enough.
And I do believe they told Oscar to back off a little bit so that he didn't within five. They didn't want him to be within 5 seconds of Lando either and lose another spot. But ultimately, you know, a win for Ferrari, but we're all talking about Max and Lando, but a win
for
Max.
We didn't even see Ferrari for the last half of the race.
The most boring race for Ferrari. For it to score a 1-2, I don't know. It's been years since they did that.
Yeah.
But everybody's talking about Max and Lando, which is unsurprising.
I think they said the last one was Rubens, Barrichello, and the other Brazilian guy that thinks he won the championship, but he didn't.
Oh, Felipe Massa?
Yeah, yeah.
Felipe Massa and Barrichello drove together at Ferrari?
I think maybe after Schumacher retired.
All right, geez, I didn't remember. This is where Nick is our historian. We need Nick on the pod. He'll tell us exactly what happened. But
yeah,
1-2 for Ferrari, which was great. But I truly feel that Max was not racing to win this. He was racing to make sure that he kept Lando behind him.
Yeah,
and you know, mission successful for him.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think he could have touched the Ferraris even if he wanted to.
Yeah, maybe.
They were way far ahead.
And I think right up until the end, Colapinto had the fastest lap.
Yeah.
And he was in the top 10, right? So
he sure was.
He would have got the extra point, but good old Esteban Ocon decided to go into the pits a la Danny Rick.
Sure.
In his last race, put on a pair of soft tires for one lap and just, you know, zip around.
I guess they're in a fight, right? Alpine and Williams trying to get as many points as they can.
That one, is less egregious. They are, more directly battling.
Yeah.
But yeah, so fastest lap ended up with Ocon, so that point just gets thrown in the bin.
Sure.
But
Nico getting into the top 10.
Yeah. The Haases are legit.
And Kevin just outside of the top 10, but scoring in the sprint race as well.
Good for the American team. I mean, Ferrari, massive haul of points this weekend in the constructors. Yeah. They're right behind Red Bull now. I mean, Perez, where did he finish? I didn't even know, like ninth or something.
I think he was seventh because George ended up passing him on the second to last lap.
Right. So, McLaren now have a 40-point lead over Red Bull in the constructors.
Yeah.
And Ferrari.
Charles is right behind Lando now in the
Drivers.
Drivers.
Right behind is a relative term. He's still 20 plus points.
I think he's closer to Lando than Lando is to Max.
Sure. But Charles can't catch. There's no way Charles can catch Max for the championship. Lando's still the only one who even has a chance. But now we really need Max to DNF. To open it up again.
At least once.
Yeah. Lando and Leclerc both have 3 wins now.
Yeah, it's time for Oscar to really show what kind of teammate he is.
And take out Verstappen.
Yeah.
Ferrari are only 8 points behind Red Bull in the championship. So I forget exactly the statistic, but it's possible that Max could win the championship and his team come third in the constructors, which hasn't happened since like 1980, like Keke Rosberg or something.
Wow.
Like 1982 or something. Like it just doesn't happen. Cause Sergio is just a non-factor. He's eighth in the driver's standings behind, it's the top, it's the big, four teams, sure. the drivers, but he's the last of those.
Exactly. Those drivers. Yeah. They're bookending the
bookending it exactly, which is just a weird situation.
Yeah.
But I think it's inevitable that Ferrari are gonna overtake Red Bull. It looks to me that way.
Yeah. And Nico has moved ahead of Lance in the drivers' championship. Nico's one of the top 10 drivers in the drivers.
Yeah. I mean, Alonso's all on his own in ninth at 62 points. So 150 for Perez in eighth, 62 for Alonso, and then 29 for Hülkenberg. But yeah, there's a little battle going on there between Hülkenberg, Stroll, and Tsunoda. And then, just down the bottom, it's just, who can do what? Can Colapinto overtake Behrmann, who's not even driving? Will Ocon finish behind Behrmann, who only drove 2 races this season?
That would be so bad.
Ocon's got 5 points. Behrmann's got 7.
That's just atrocious. But I mean,
Zhou
and Bottas don't have any points.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're tied with Logan Sargeant.
Right. They're losing to Liam, who's only raced once.
Yeah, it gets a bit silly when you look at it that way.
But
that's racing for you.
We've touched on most of the winners. Obviously, Max has taken a win from this, finishing ahead of Lando. And then losers, Lando, obviously a loser, disappointing weekend for him, lose behind Max in both races. Pierre, who looked to have a great, he started in P7, ended up outside of the points, really disappointing. I mean, I guess you could put Kevin as a loser, but overall, I mean, a pretty good weekend for him Unfortunate, yeah. He started in the top 10 and wasn't able to finish in the points, but not bad. Yeah. But yeah, that's really it for the weekend, I guess. What happened in Coupes? I haven't even checked yet.
In Coupes, our very own, the Undercut's very own.
No way.
Prancing to first got the biggest points, 295 points this week. Yeah. He got Leclerc, Sainz, Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Russell, and Hülkenberg all spot on.
Jeez.
With Perez in ninth, he got 15 points for that. His Ferrari tinted glasses, he had Leclerc on pole and fastest lap. So he didn't get anything for that. But yeah. Big points for him, which means he ultimately moves up to second overall behind R. Heatley, who still has a commanding lead. I mean, it's down to 90
he moved
points.
Way up, too. Oh, my God.
Who did?
Because the guy in third is now 100 points over 100 points behind him.
Yeah, he didn't have a good...
he must have had an awful weekend.
What did he get this week? Yeah, 173 points. Yeah, less. Yeah, 100 less. You moved up nicely to 42nd, still chipping away. Nick up to 29th. And again, I just slowly slipping down. Slipping down. But we go again next weekend in Mexico. Usually Perez actually does do better at his home race.
Yeah.
His fans
has he won it
out.
Yet, though?
I don't think he has. I don't think so. And I don't think he will either.
Probably not.
It
would be amazing if he did, but...
It would be amazing. But this is the second of what we have three races in a row, right? So it,
yep. And then Brazil, the sprint race weekend.
Right after that, which is another sprint, and then just three races to go after that: Vegas, Qatar, and
those are all back. Oh no, maybe there's a break. No, maybe they are
They're all back to back. But there's like a 2 week gap though.
Yeah.
No, three. It's a 3 week gap. Sorry, between Brazil and Las Vegas. So
wow,
weird scheduling. Actually, they're looking at it now. Three in a row, then a 3 week gap, then three in a row. Not quite sure, but. Be interesting to see what happens next week.
Yeah.
We need something dramatic to happen.
I know. All this build up. It can't just end with Max like winning.
Squeaking across the line.
Yeah.
It could just work out that way.
That would suck.
That Lando's just going to run out of races to make it happen. This was a bit of a gut punch for Lando. He's probably like... Brewing, he was probably looking forward to this the last month.
Yeah, exactly.
And for this to happen, he's like, what could have been?
Yeah, he needs a lot to go his way now. But
yeah,
it's not impossible.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Anything can happen.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 U.S. Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the Mexican Grand Prix. See you then.